Okay, good morning, everyone. Got a little after 8 o'clock. Call our meeting to order. Commissioner Straffus and Pennell in attendance. Understand from Jim that Danny just called in not feeling well this morning, so he's not here. And he requested, by a list Jim gave me here, to take a number of items off of our agenda that he doesn't want to miss out on. Second line, agenda format, Robert's Rules of Order, meeting procedures, then nuisance cases, wellness center, 2010 health fair, Bob Paulson work session, including executive, contracts work session, and RAC meeting. So we will, I don't know if we need to vote or anything, we will not be addressing those issues. That leaves us starting at the bottom, Ozark Beach change order number 13, biosolids project study contract, staff departmental meeting, purchasing, and Missouri commercial and industrial rebate application, HPRP monthly report, Nikki on work session, approval of minutes and payroll. And first on our list then is staff departmental meeting, Road and Bridge. We got Mr. President here. So,
good morning.
Pass the buck to you there.
Okay. I don't have a whole heck of a lot, but I hope to get through some of these and get some sense of direction. First thing I'd like to report on is the transfer station. We had two different programs on a trial basis that I told you I'd report back the results of those programs. The two programs were, one, we had a two-week extended hour program where the hours for the transfer station were extended by an hour and a half in a day, half hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. And that two-week program was a verbal to the commercial haulers that we would be open those additional hours. The hope and intent was it would be a level of convenience for the commercial haulers, and that we anticipated increased revenue from the increased tonnage that were brought in. What the 2 weeks results showed were that we brought in on average 30 tons per week, or 60 tons for the 2 weeks. And several comments from the commercial haulers that they really appreciated the extended hours and planned on using them. Several of the operators had taken their loads to either Springfield or is it Reed Springs, I believe, mm-hmm. over in Stone County? Brown being one of them that we had an issue with the check with, and so he's been bringing. So it's not that we had the haulers that are just coming a little earlier or coming later. These are actually additional tonnage that we're marking that we didn't get before. The overtime level went from 20 hours for the crew per pay period altogether to 60 hours for the crew per pay period altogether. The increased funding coming in from the dumping brought in $780, and our overtime cost $680. So it's almost we're $100 in the plus there. That's the one program. The second program that we said we'd watch for 90 days was the metal recycling that was previously done by a commercial hauler, and that program brought in almost $6,000 in 90 days. So if you take the metal recycling program, which the guys that are working the additional overtime will have the ability now to segregate that even more, and will have the ability to get a higher dollar for the material that we're recycling. I think both of these programs, initial onset, they're not costing us anything. We are making some money on it. And it, the strongest statement I can say is that it's a great convenience to the public. We didn't meet earlier this week. I verbally told the transfer station to continue on with the commercial operations, letting the haulers know that we'll continue these hours until further notice. I'd like to recommend that if we're going to continue with these extended hours, it might be to our benefit and the citizens' benefit to make a press release to let them know that we are open those extended hours and we may benefit by even more tonnage and having those people there. That's my recommendation. The decision would be up to you. At this point in time, I don't see us losing money, making a little bit, and more convenience for the public, and the potential to make more if we continue, if we opened it up wide open to the general public for hauling during those extended hours.
Okay, good report. Mm-hmm. Questions?
You should continue on.
I'd like to open it up to general population residents, mm-hmm. let them know through a press release. You're okay with that?
Yep.
Okay.
I've got a couple questions. Sure I understood you clearly. Because of the increased hours, there was a revenue increase of $780, and that was a two-week period?
Yes, sir.
And the payroll, the overtime payroll, was $680.
Yes, sir.
How about our new part-time employee working there? Is his salary included in that, and how is he working out?
The part-time employee is the Saturday morning employee. He's working out well. I think he has a good personality for that position, good public interaction skills. His salary, I think it's a – they cancel each other out. He's replacing what Karen would have or someone else in the shack would have gotten on overtime. So I don't believe that his hours any additional overtime. It's
actually going to the time and a half will be a little less than the other time and a half. So
because of his hourly rate, so it's not additional overtime for the shack.
So Karen's was still getting overtime in this that $680.
She was. She's getting additional overtime. She does the bank run. She's using a county vehicle now to do the bank run, and so she goes to the bank and comes back. And she also shows up approximately 20 to 15 minutes early and pulls out the vest and gets the bank drawer ready.
Proper change.
Right.
So she's not using her vehicle anymore?
Anymore. But since the mileage changed, she's using the county vehicle to make that run.
All right. Thanks.
All right. They'll be glad to hear that. So, and are we comfortable enough to, I'm definitely comfortable enough to put a programmable message board up to let the customers know that that's going on at that location. Are we comfortable enough to make the change on the, I can get some little platelet signs made to put over our big 4-foot by 8-foot sign to change the hours on that board? Minimal cost.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. The Lake Taneycomo cleanup is this Saturday, the 18th. I can't recall what our involvement was. I know were we going to allow the cleanup personnel to dump for free at the...
We had talked about a bunch of things.
Transfer station.
We hadn't heard back from the coordinator. They wanted some dumpsters. They wanted to dump for free. But I don't remember actually having anything from them. I didn't receive anything from them saying that they wanted whatever they wanted.
Okay. I think
you know the contact person over there. I can get you that.
I have a number here.
Gopala?
Yes.
Yeah. If you would, I mean, that would be best if there's an assumption that we at least need to set the expectations correctly. If they're expecting something.
Okay.
I don't know. I was in the initial meeting with them, and I hadn't met with them after the initial meeting when they were talking about this whole program.
I think I've heard talk about 3 dump sites or locations that they'll be dumping. My fear is that Saturday afternoon rolls around or Saturday late morning and we get several loads of material to the transfer station and we haven't talked about.
I would just talk to Gopala and see what she has in mind because I don't know.
Okay.
Is there a decision needed there today or should we ask Frank to... come back to us later in the day.
I can make contact, see what their expectations are, and see if we can accommodate their expectations, I guess.
Yeah.
So that nobody's surprised.
Right.
Good.
Taney County has a road classification system, class 1 through 6. And the last time the definitions were revised was by Mr. Ratterman in 2003. I pulled this out the other day to review them, and I had some questions as to the descriptions of the different classifications and wanted to know if you wanted me to adjust these descriptions. My concern is that as people go through the petition process, in anything under a class 3, 4, 5, and 6, in our definition it states the width of the road shall be is allowed to be 16 to 20 feet wide. We have a problem when we allow 16 foot wide roads. It's a glorified lane and a half, and it doesn't allow two opposing lanes of traffic to travel on the same piece of roadway. And if you're okay with that, I'm okay with that, but it struck me as a little unique because typically we ask for 20 feet of driving surface, but yet in our definitions that goes out with the package for the petition, where three of our classifications are okaying the fact that their road be 16 feet wide.
Comments? I think we've got a number of loads, how'd you put that, that are pretty much lanes or something?
Lane and a half.
Lane and a half. And being on Humber County roads, there's some of them I don't see that it's a negative.
Okay.
I mean, you've got to drove one last night that there's one family at the last part of it, and it's what you're talking about. It's probably one of those 16 foot, and they have to pull off and crowd the ditch line a little bit to meet somebody, but they hardly ever meet anybody. Not saying that that's the optimum thing, but we've discussed this different times when we've taken in roads years back. Well, they got to be 20 feet, but most cases, yes, they ought to be 20 feet, but I think there's a few times they don't need to be 20 feet, and we got tons of them out there, maybe a little exaggeration, but we got a lot of them out there that we don't have 20-foot driving surface on. We got some. One pops into mind right now near Branson that we don't have a 20-foot right-of-way, and we got a narrow surface. So to be up and speed and like it ought to be, yeah, we ought to have 20 feet, but there's areas in the county that I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
My opinion.
Based on functional need, if there's only two or three homes, it's three quarters of a mile long, and the average daily traffic is six or eight, that might be
right.
The right thing to do. So I just noticed that, thought I'd bring it to your attention.
Sure.
Melissa Duckworth from Chris Burns' office is working with our office and Kathy to review some documentation in regards to SEMA, not FEMA, funding. There's some discrepancies of work orders and tallies for product and loads. So Kathy will be working with Melissa and SEMA representatives to hopefully rectify that situation. It's a time frame of about a week that we need to look into the details of those numbers and see where the error was made. Wanted to inform you that they're here working with us on that.
Mike, are we talking about like storm issues?
It was for one of the four events.
Okay.
The difference, the discrepancy, I believe, is about $22,000 at this point in time. As I spoke with the representative this morning, they might find it in our favor to where the numbers reverse the other way.
Okay.
We've scheduled the snow rodeo for November 4th of this year. Mr. Strophis, for your information, the snow rodeo is something that they've traditionally done here for several years in Taney County. We did not have one last year, and I think maybe we should have. What it is, and it's an event where the East and the West get together and have a truck driving competition, obstacle course with the snowplow on, spreader, have a vehicle checkout where we will secretly create some issues on a dump truck and see how many of those issues the people that are checking out the vehicle can find. We'll also have some backhoe and grader competitions. So it's like an equipment rodeo, and it's a nice day for camaraderie and training, and it's an opportunity for us to make sure that our equipment is storm ready prior to the winter storms coming in.
Do you have a time yet?
It's an all-day event.
So it starts at 8?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
November 4th. Countywide, we are about to embark on preparation for next year's road maintenance activities. And in doing so, some of the neighborhoods that we're looking at have trees that are in the right-of-way or limbs that are in the right-of-way that have not been trimmed in quite some time. And the crews have cautioned me that last time they went through some of these neighborhoods, there were some citizens that were not too pleased that the county came in and trimmed the trees. Typically, in city or county maintenance, it's the county's within the county's authority to maintain trees in the right-of-way and or limbs that are in the right-of-way. And it would be my request that the crews not go in there and butcher the trees and take care of them and not make them look lopsided, you know, just do the right thing. One of their concerns is that in the past that when people call in that either the person in my position or the commission did not support their efforts in going out there and removing this growth so that the construction equipment can go out there and not be impeded during the maintenance by either ripping trees down or ripping branches down. So basically I'm letting you know that we're going to need to go into some neighborhoods and trim some trees, and you may or may not get some calls, but typically we will work within our right-of-way. And just a heads up again.
Thank you.
Dixie informed me this week that we have a definite three and a potential fourth person that will be filing for retirement early next year. And the intent of me letting you know that is with the program that was set up for retirement funds to be made available for them. I wanted to let you know our request to the people on our crews were, please let us know if you have any intentions of retiring within a certain time frame. Three of those have filed the paperwork, one potential upcoming. So as we go through the budget process, I'd like to take that into consideration.
And Dixie has those names?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
I have them right here if you want to look at them.
Are there any new ones that you weren't aware of were coming?
No.
Okay, that's good. You'd expected them?
Yes.
Okay.
I CC'd you on a letter to the Army Corps. The manager of the Army Corps branch that is in charge of the minimal flow project, and I have not heard back other than one response where that manager of the program would talk to Mr. Armstrong. Copy of the letter here. I CC'd all of you on it. And I did some research, and as I stated to you and the Army Corps, as late as July 8th of 2010, here's an article in the Mountain Home Baxter Bulletin, which states that rebuilding or relocating properties affected by the higher minimal flow waters in Bull Shoals and Norfolk Lakes, 5 feet on Bull Shoals. So that's a recent article, and they said that it wasn't a 5 foot elevation change. And you go back and do some research, you'll find a lot of publications that talk about a 5 foot elevation change. You'll also see, or I did, in some of their own Army Corps project work and scoping work, they talked about it being a 5-foot elevation change. So we have yet to hear back from them. It's been about 2 weeks since the letter was sent. Actually, Hazmat's was September 7th. I'll ask them again if when we can meet, because I think it's important with Slough Hollow being the primary problem that we have in Taney County with the elevated water. If they're wanting us to fund the additional 2 foot in change in elevation, that's not something we've scoped. That's something we could have gone for a grant for. That's it's just not something that was put on our plate until the last meeting that we had. So that was a surprise to us. We're at about mile 73 on our chip seal program. Last week we had a minimal failure in our oil. We laid the product down on Tuesday, and on Thursday we had some wet tracking occurring on a portion of Gunnison. We have two vehicles that have filed claims. One of them, in my opinion, is legitimate. The other one is questionable. Been in contact with the oil company. I've had oil company representatives out here. We've had testing done at the laboratory. And this is 1 week after I told you that the oil program, the chip seal program, was going better than it ever has. We hadn't had any problems. At this point in time, the only thing that we can point it down to is that it was in a highly shaded area. There may have been some moisture on the ground that we couldn't see. Humidity levels for Tuesday afternoon were between 95 and 100%, highest of this year's program. We blotted it with ice control, small aggregate, and put up additional signing. We put two programmable message boards up, one on each end of the project, and spread throughout the mile because we had additional loose gravel. We put lighted barricades with loose gravel signs up throughout the project. I think we've minimized the problems that we'll have from that. It's unfortunate, and we'll continue to try to find out what caused it, but all indications are it may have been poor choice on our behalf to choose that day, not be aware that the humidity was so high and the location that we were working with. As the oil company president stated, we may have created the perfect storm and not known it or been in the perfect storm. So if nothing else, it's a learning experience for ourselves and the road crews. The oil company has offered to help us in reimbursement of the claims that we have at this point in time. Another interesting note, one of our aero boards was used for target practice when it was parked in the lower section of that area. Not a good thing.
What kind of damage dollars do we know?
At this point in time, the wiring, the main wiring to the unit was torn apart, so that's a rewire. And it looks like maybe one panel of bulbs, which I don't know the cost of. So the cost should be minimal. Good. It's my understanding last time we had an air board in that part of the country, they took the tires and the rims and every piece of metal that was able to be taken off of the machine for recycling was done. So it was the right thing to put the message board out there, but the results weren't that favorable.
That was on Gunnison.
That's correct. We still are preparing several roads in Branson for some road work, weather permitting. We'll see how that goes. This weather is a bit of a surprise for us at this point in the year. About to wrap it up here. We do have, I don't know if we have the ability to go into executive this morning or not.
Yeah, I guess we do.
Okay. There is one issue I'd like to mention in executive that I just wanted to give you a heads up on it and let you know that I'm working on it and see what kind of resolution we can come up with.
Okay. Are you going to be here for anything else the rest of the day? Any other things on the meeting?
I don't believe so.
Ozark Beach, you're not going to be in the Ozark Beach change room? Okay. I was just saying we could wait to the end. But.
Okay. One thing I did want to mention, Mr. Stroff, is in the language that's currently in our scoring sheet for the, and I wish I would have brought a sheet with me, the language for the definitions of the categories that we're working with doesn't seem to be appropriate for our area, and or maybe too difficult for our board to correlate with the issues that we have in Tannehill County. So I'd like to bring that to your attention and meet with you one-on-one.
No, I do.
Okay.
We did say something about maybe Frank coming back to us later with the question on the Lake Tannehill.
That's fine, or we can just...
I can email you and let you know what their expectations are. And
yeah.
Or we can pass the buck to Frank and let him take care of it.
I anticipate, if I were them, I would ask that...
Get free dumping. So what time is the question?
Yeah.
What time do we open? That's a Saturday. How late do we open on Saturday?
12. We have not extended
and
our Saturday hours.
And the cleanup is what?
Pardon?
Cleanup ends at what time?
Saturday the 18th, volunteers needed for litter pickup by boat and shoreline on Lake Tanicomo. No hours.
Well, maybe you just let her know that the transfer station, I mean, I'm willing to give free dumping, but they have to be there by noon.
Okay. Those are pretty limited hours, especially if you're going to be out on the lake doing the cleanup itself. What about if they came in Monday? You're still okay with free dumping?
I am.
Yes, I am too.
Okay. I'll let them know.
How about, you got that phone number?
The phone number is 417-739-4100.
Okay, and that's been posted in the paper. And
I believe it has.
Yeah, I think I saw it. Okay. Other questions for Frank? I've got a few, maybe not questions, comments. Sometime back, I've had two calls from a Leonard Cummings over at Powerside. And I think I passed it on to the office, but
okay.
I'm just being sure I did. And I'd have to go look at the map. The name of the road has left me. I went out and drove it, and it's one of these narrow roads. And he has a dump truck, I think, is his situation. And he's wanting us to do significant work. And I don't know. My first thought in looking and driving it, looking at it, is we need to look at that seriously before we.
Do you know if it's currently?
It's county road. I'm quite certain of that, but I haven't been out there with him, and maybe I should ask you to contact him, and I've got his number.
Okay.
To maybe. Yourself and a commissioner or two, probably enough to have a couple of us there, so we can make a decision and wouldn't have to drag it out any longer. Anyway, if you'd think on that.
Randy and I are looking at roads for most of the day today. We may stop by that one and
Okay. Take
a look at it.
Just point of FYI, I had a phone call yesterday. And it's not necessarily road and bridge. You reminded me of it when you mentioned the core. Fellow at the end of Roberts Ridge, he has an issue with the Corps of Engineers about property line, and he built fence, and the Corps Ranger has talked to him, and I've got a phone call into Mark Case to visit with him about the issue. Again, I don't think it has a thing to do with the road, but our road does go... I couldn't tell by the aerial map whether we've got there's a cul-de-sac or where exactly the road ends and whether it's close to his issue. One other thing was just I had Raymond Cummins, sits on our P&Z board, gave me a list. I'll make you a copy of it.
I got a copy yesterday.
Did you? Okay.
Yes, I had... Mr. Cummings, go talk to Rex and discuss the
situation.
Rex's recommendation is that although it would be great to have all of that, it's mostly for machine shop purposes and primarily for rebuilding engines, and the cost although it'd be a good price for the package deal, we don't have the square footage to house it. He'd love to have it, but it's operationally, financially, it's just not the right time for that decision.
Good. Glad you've covered that. It's all on my list. Shall we go ahead and...
It won't take long, just a heads up.
Okay. Motion to go into executive session. Is this personnel or...
Other.
There's no other.
Okay, it's not personnel.
What is it?
We
have 22 reasons.
Okay, really, 22. It's someone doing a public service request for a part of our operations and making some accusations that we need to look into.
Why don't we, to be technically proper, let's, if we don't mind, we'll recess and let me go pull up the, but we're only posted for three.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Personnel, there. Real estate, or litigation.
Does it involve personnel? I mean, does it involve...
Not our personnel, no.
Okay,
does
can't
it involve
that.
You, or... Okay.
It's our it's the operation of the quarry in Hilda.
Okay.
We'll have to... how about we just, at the next break, talk to Mr. Paulson and see what our options are.
Okay. I'm going on the road most of the day.
I don't want to avoid it, but we only posted for three executive reasons.
There's Bob.
Oh, they were listening upstairs.
You want to take a couple of minute recess and let Frank talk to Bob?
That'd be wonderful.
Five break for a couple, for 5 minutes and...